championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Bazer, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell. As always, you guys listen to the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel on any podcasting platform out there. Today we're going to be going over the coaching changes that happened. We're going to give you guys a really full recap of what happened and what we think of each hire. Then get into the 2021 class as it has started and talk about the biggest needs the Longhorns have going into the 2021 cycle and who the main targets are, the major targets are for the Longhorns. But first, Darius, how you doing, man? We took a week off because I'm moving, and Darius, you got the flu, so it just wasn't going to happen last week. But how are we feeling this week?
Feeling good. I'm glad to be off my deathbed, and I'm excited to be here tonight, and looking forward to having a great week. Helping get everybody else's week started off good.
True. Hey, real fast, since it's still football season, I want to ask you, how are you feeling about the XFL? Because so far, I've been pleasantly surprised.
You said it was still football season. That was news to me. I haven't been watching nothing. I haven't seen anything.
You haven't watched the down of XFL? You haven't watched your Dallas Renegades?
I haven't. I can get tired of football. I can. So I don't need it nonstop. 24/7 like some people. I have not watched a second of the XFL. This weekend I saw some of the NBA All-Star stuff. I thought the NBA All-Star game was great, but XFL, no, I haven't watched a second.
Really, man? It's pretty good. I've been pleasantly surprised with how into it I've been. And you know me, this is going to be something that's actually a statement that means something. I watched the XFL game. I watched the St. Louis Battlehawks over the St. Louis Blues because they were both at the same time, and I watched the XFL over the NHL.
Just don't get too attached. I mean, they're having a hard time scoring points, so I don't know enough about the XFL. I'm gonna reserve my comments and judgment for a later date.
Right, until the Dallas Renegades win the XFL championship, and you're like, oh, man, the Renegades. I was a fan of them ever since they started.
Who are they? Aren't they coached by Bob Stoops?
They are.
Yeah, I've got no interest, zero interest. No, I'm out. No, I'm good.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into some Texas football here. Texas football has just gone through a really turbulent period as they were hiring a lot of new coaches. We talked about most of them, guys like Mike Yurcich, Andre Coleman, Coleman Hutzler, Jay Valai, and Chris Ash. But there were a few new guys who came into the staff. Let's go ahead and get into them real fast, hit on them, and give y'all our thoughts on these new guys. So we'll start off with Jay Boulware. Darius, what are your thoughts on Jay Boulware coming back to Texas from OU?
Well, I mean, you know immediately with him being a former Texas player, you know he's going to have passion for the university. You know he's going to give. You don't have to worry about him giving, 100% giving everything that he has to the program. He was at Oklahoma for 7 or 8 years. He had been there for a while. So to be able for Tom Herman to be able to poach him from that staff after all the time he spent there, I really thought it was a solid steal away from them. And he was their special teams coordinator. To get that guy on staff, he's a former offensive lineman, to get him working with the tight ends. Maybe you'll see some improvement in the run game from the tight ends this year. I'm excited about what he can bring from a teaching standpoint. You know, he's not really a name as far as recruiting and things like that, but I'm excited to see what he does with tight ends from a technical standpoint as far as blocking and being effective in the run game. You don't worry about the guys that they've got, Jared Wiley, Cade Brewer, not really recently tied, but Braden Leibach. You don't worry about those guys catching the ball. You worry about them in the run game. So I'm excited to see what Jay Boulware can do with them.
Right. I think that was one of the main problems last year with the run game, or just in general the offense, was the lack of the tight end presence on the field. If the Longhorns can get that down, then their offense takes off, because that's the position that really connects all the pieces of this offense. So Jay Boulware, I guess you're right. I guess if he can really teach these guys over the offseason about this position, then I'm impressed. But this tight end position is, we've talked about it, is mainly, a recruiting position. And Jay Boulware, well, I don't know how much I buy into this narrative, but I'll go ahead and play devil's advocate here. I don't know how much the Longhorns poached him because, I mean, they did, but still, I think OU fans are getting a little bit tired of him because he wasn't bringing in the success at the running back position.
OU fans don't make the decisions, though. They don't make the decisions, though.
Well, neither do Longhorn fans, but
I bet you if we asked Lincoln Riley what his thoughts were when Jay Boulware informed him that he was leaving his staff, because he wasn't getting fired or anything like that. He informed Lincoln Riley that he was leaving. I think we need to give this more credit then. I wouldn't worry about what fans usually don't have a lot of positive things to say about coaches when they leave, you know, regardless of what they did.
And by the way, Jay Boulware will run the special teams.
Wasn't Jay Boulware the running backs coach when they had Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, what's my man name?
Flowers.
Anderson, Flowers, Rodney Anderson. Like, I don't want to hear that crap from Oklahoma fans. I don't care what they have to say on this.
I get you. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm playing devil's advocate. But you also have another guy who joined the staff in Mark Hagan. Now, Mark Hagan, another guy coming from the rival school, or once from the rival school, really coming from Indiana. That's where he spent most of his time. He played there. He's coached most of his career there. He was a recruiting coordinator there before he was taken by A&M. Mark Hagan is now the defensive tackle coach at Texas. And what they want to do with him is have him as more of a recruiting presence to Oscar Giles' ability to develop that defensive line talent. Darius, what do you feel about Mark Hagan as a recruiter to Oscar Giles?
I don't know much about Mark Hagan as far as a recruiter. I know 15, 16 years ago, if you go back to some lists, he made some quote-unquote rankings lists as far as being a recruiter and being recognized for his recruiting abilities. Everything I hear about him as far as being a coach, I hear he's a really, really intense guy. Which may be a welcome thing to some of the guys there on campus. You know, I don't want them to go too far. You know, you don't want anybody to transfer a portal or anything like that. But I hear he's an intense coach. He's going to get after those guys. He's going to demand the best from them. But from everything I understand, Mark Hagan, of course, he's an Indiana guy through and through. He's one of the leading tacklers in school history, et cetera, et cetera. He's a Big Ten guy. But from what we understand, his family, when he came down to A&M to be a coach for those two years he was there, the family never left College Station when he went back to Indiana. So these last few years, he's been doing a long distance thing with his family. He's got a wife and three daughters, and this was an opportunity for him to get back closer to his family. So it makes sense for everybody, and he helps Texas because he's a guy with a ton of experience. And to pair him with a guy like Oscar Giles, who's been one of the better developers in the Big 12 over the past decade and a half from the defensive end position, it seems like the sky would be the limit for that defensive front, especially now with Texas moving to a four-man front as well.
You know, I'm a little iffy on Mark Hagan as your recruiting guy, seeing as what he was unable to do at A&M in the midst of their recruiting boom. A&M fans weren't very happy with him. Indiana fans were upset with him leaving, but it's Indiana. I think the ball is up in the air there. I think he could potentially be a good recruiter. Oscar Giles has actually done a pretty decent job, great job as a recruiter. Having another guy on that defensive staff as a recruiter to helpfully get more bodies down in that defensive line room is always something that's going to be good. So I think it's a good pickup. It's not the best pickup. They obviously missed on a few guys that they wanted. But for a guy who is, you know, maybe option D, maybe option C, option D, not a bad pickup for the Longhorns at all.
I like the pickup. I mean, I've never subscribed to the, you know, option A, B. I mean, how the hell do we know? We don't know. But
based on his
track record, he had Indiana, guys on that Indiana defensive front. If you check the numbers for the past 2 years, performing at a level that they've never had at that school. I'm excited about him as a coach. I mean, it's freaking Texas. I mean, the place recruits itself. You don't need a quote unquote, you know, you don't need a bag man. You don't need a quote unquote rock star recruiter. Texas needs guys to develop the guys they have on campus. That's what's been the problem with Texas the past 10 plus years. Talent has never been the issue. develop the talent that you have on campus, and you'll start winning the games that folks have been expecting you to win. And we can stop all this whining that I'm hearing and seeing nonstop. I get so freaking tired of all the negativity. Okay. I think Hagan's a perfect example of what they need. So I hope he comes in and kicks some ass and get those guys going and getting after the quarterback next year so the Texans can finally get back to double digit wins.
Well, I'll tell you another guy that you really nailed on the evaluation as a coach is Jay Vilai. The cornerback room is 100% behind him. They are absolutely falling in love with him. Everybody around the state of Texas in terms of trainers is head over heels for the dude. That dude is starting to pay dividends in terms of really going after kids that Texas wouldn't have touched beforehand, really getting some offers out to kids that Texas wasn't ready to throw offers at yet.
So part of what I'm going to write about it, actually, I might not write about it Thursday, but Texas had their press conferences last week. Monday. It was last week with the coaches. It was the first time getting to hear all of the new hires speak in front of the camera and everything. Got to hear Andre Coleman, got to hear Coleman Hustler, Mike Yersich, Jay Vilai, Jay Boulware. I was really impressed listening to all of them. Now, of course, I'll take that back, because when I listened to Charlie Strong when he was first hired and listened to some of those guys, I was a little bit concerned. I don't get that from these guys. Every single one of these guys that are in here right now that were brought in seem to have a chip on their shoulder. And I feel like they're going to attack. They're going to bring a mindset to this program that hasn't been there. Jay Vilai is a young guy. He's a guy that he's received a heck of an opportunity being as young as he is. Part of what a lot of folks were knocking him for was not having quote unquote skins on the wall. Chris Ash came in and stood on the table for this guy from everything we've been told and we've heard. And in the interviews and everything, I couldn't be more impressed with what I'm hearing from him now. It remains to be seen. I mean, we'll ultimately judge him on how his guys play in the fall. But he's saying all the right things, and I absolutely could see how he could get on the phone with a young man here in 2020 and get him excited about playing for the University of Texas. So I just said previously how, hey, well, I mean, you don't need a rock star recruiter. Well, this guy seems like he's going to be a rock star recruiter regardless. You know, that's just his personality. We're going to judge him by what he does on the field, but he's definitely going to get some names on paper and measurables as far as those stars you're looking for in that secondary. As long as he's here on campus, he's a guy that folks are excited about, and understandably so, just from listening to him.
Yeah. And he's a guy who is a young presence in that locker room and seems to be a fiery dude who understands the players who he is coaching. Right? You didn't have that before in this staff. What Tom Herman has here in Jay Vilai is a guy who, again, understands the players who he is coaching and is young and can relate with the guys. He's going to be a lot better at managing his position, which, again, defensive backs, the wide receivers, the skill positions are a lot more divas. Divas, that's the word I'm looking for. They're a lot more high maintenance, and you have a guy who will be able to relate with these kids and manage all of that, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, talking about those interviews, Mike Yersich is a guy who continues to impress me every time I hear something about him and what he's been able to do and what he's bringing. I am actually pretty excited about the hire at this point with Mike Yersich, just seeing what he's done at Oklahoma State. Every time you look back at what he did, it just makes you more excited about what he could potentially do with the Longhorns.
We talked about this a few weeks ago, but his numbers increase from year to year. The points per game, the yards per game, passing and rushing at Oklahoma State. And he was doing it with guys like Taylor Cornelius at quarterback. And Oklahoma State has not had a shortage of offensive talent. But, I mean, I think we can at least agree that Texas, at the very least right now, is on par with the talent that Oklahoma State had at any point during his time, during Yersich's time there. So just going off his track record and seeing what he did with Justin Fields, you try to keep yourself from falling into the trap and drinking all the Kool-Aid every offseason. You know, of course, every person that's brought in is going to be the best thing ever. They're going to implement everything perfectly. It's going to be a smooth transition. There's not going to be any type of transition for the players from terminology and things like that. Everything's going to be perfect, right? So
are you me? So, are you being me right now? Is this are you just playing a joke right here?
No, I mean, so the opposite of a guy like Jay Valai, who doesn't really have a track record to go for, you're going off of what he could be listening to him. Yursich has a track record, and it's really, really impressive. And he's had success in the Big 12 and recently in the Big 12. That's just something to get excited about. But I'm trying to keep myself from being, you know, I don't want to be the guy that everybody's going to be mad at because I said.
You're being the conservative one here and not me this time.
I mean, I'm like everybody else. I've seen it. I've been here the last. I want to see it happen. On paper, I mean, it seems like a heck of a hire.
Right. Now, that's where I am. And it comes off as me being negative, but I'm more of conservative after having seen every year and hearing every year, oh, this is the dude. This is the dude to turn it around. Everything's going to happen now, and then it just falls apart. I'm starting to get to the point where I'll believe it when I see it. But, I'll, you know, from what I hear, it sounds good. But let's wait till we see the Saturdays in the fall for it to be a consistently good offense and a consistently good defense, and every one of these hires works out. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for till I can say, yeah, no, I completely agree with all these hires. They're all great. You know, they're all going to recruit and they're all going to be perfect hires. And they're all going to manage the locker room correctly. I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to wait to see how this goes, because you're never going to have a perfect hiring every single go around. You just want to get 90% of them correct, and then, you know, trim the fat here and there once you figure out these guys are incorrect or correct.
I'll say this. So if I was Tom Herman, right? Well, if I was a young coach and I made a name for myself at a smaller school, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I got the call to get to move up, I think a part of you, even though, of course, you know, you get all of the cliches, oh, you've got a blank check for you to go get the best and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. At the same time, I mean, you're a young coach. That's the only place you've ever been. Don't you feel a bit of an obligation to the guys that, quote unquote, got you there?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I understand Coach Herman feeling that way and feeling the need to bring those guys with him. So this is his opportunity. This is his chance to right his wrongs, and this is his chance to, quote unquote, go get the best guys that were available. And it appears on paper he did
He did a pretty decent job here, is what you're trying to say.
I think so. But it's not
like the greatest staff ever put together. He didn't get every single guy that would have been the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a bad group of dudes.
No, and I understand bringing the staff with you from the fireplace as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
You gave them all my opportunity, and you expanded your tree, and relationships matter. You know,
right.
But I like what this staff looks like on paper. I like what I'm hearing from them in February.
Right, right. So let's stick with this interview because all this new stuff going on, because there's a few movements around in the roster as well, as you have guys like Byron Vons and Joseph Osai moving to the jack position on the defense, which is more of a hybrid pass rusher and a guy who is less of the B-backer role where you go back, and more of a defensive end type role where you're going forward. And that's really what you needed out of Joseph Osai and Byron Vons, more so Joseph Osai. But I think the jack position is pretty good for him. And now he's going to be more under Oscar Giles than he will be under Coleman Hutzler. And we've been talking about it all year long. He's great going backwards. He's elite going forward.
I'm fully expecting a double-digit sack season from Joseph Osai. I'm expecting him to compete for Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year honors. I'm expecting for him to be in the conversation to be a national AP All-American this upcoming season. I'm expecting big things from Joseph Osai. We've seen flashes over these last couple of years. We saw him lead the team in tackles in the Sugar Bowl as a true freshman. We saw him intercept a pass and take it 90 yards. I believe it was the first game of this past season. We saw him wreak havoc in football games this year, take over games, even with all the stuff going on with Todd Orlando and things like that, you know, with Texas not knowing what they were going to look like every week. Joseph Osai looked like the same guy every week, and he was banged up on top of it. I'm expecting huge things from him. I thought Joseph, not Joseph Osai, I thought Byron Vons looked pretty dang good in the Kansas game this past season. And then, you know, we didn't really see him anymore. I'm glad he's sticking around. I'm glad he's not transferring or doing anything like that. But a guy like him and Osai, even a guy like, to a lesser extent, Marquez, Bimish, Taquan Graham, this move to a different defensive front should work wonders for Texas as far as their productivity from their defensive front. And it's going to pay dividends in the recruiting game right. as well. If Kalavon, Chaisson can be in all these mock drafts as a top 20 pick, there's Joseph Osai's a better player than that guy. So I'm fully expecting him to be Texas's first round pick since Malcolm Brown, I believe, in what, 2013 to the Patriots?
Yeah, I think him and Samuel Cosmi have some pretty high upside for next year's draft, especially if they're leaving early. Like, those are two guys who could actually leave early, like should actually leave early if they do well, because they're two guys who are going to be first round picks. There's not much more you can do.
And how long has it been since Texas has had guys like that?
I guess you could say Connor Williams, but even then, it wasn't to that level. This is the first time in a while that you've had guys of that caliber on your roster. So, yeah, Joseph Osai, I agree with you. Last year, I thought would be a breakout year. It wasn't to the level I was expecting. I think that's this year. I think this year he'll be in a position where he can absolutely break through. Now let's go to the guys behind them, as you have Anthony Cook and moving to nickel and DeMarvion Overshown shifting from safety to the Will linebacker position under Chris Ash. I think this is a good move for DeMarvion Overshown, and he was kind of being groomed for it last year. If y'all remember, during the spring, he was sort of being moved to that linebacker position before he was ultimately moved back to safety with the injuries. But I think this year, if he sticks at linebacker, that's a position he will succeed at, because especially in the Big 12, you don't need a big, you know, 1990s, early 2000s type linebacker. You don't need Derek Johnson.
He was the last
Derek Johnson
superstar Texas linebacker, so it's got to be Derek Johnson. Yeah, I would think DJ. Yep.
Yeah, you don't need a Derek Johnson type linebacker. You don't need a guy who is more of Kenneth Murray type player, who is a more rangy, fast, twitchy linebacker, and that's what you're getting.
That was Derek Johnson. That was DJ.
Well, okay. Derek Johnson was a special breed of being that inside linebacker type player, also having that twitch. Whereas Kenneth Murray he looks more to me like a tight end. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where he looks like a tight end, like a Malcolm Epps had put on 20, 30 pounds and played linebacker. That's what you're getting out of DeMarvion Overshown, a guy who has that type of ability, doesn't need the type of size that you got with Derek Johnson, but has that type of range.
Yeah, so with Overshown, even dating back to when I remember still watching his I remember watching his highlights when he first committed to Texas coming out of Harbor. I was like, oh my goodness, that dude covers a lot of ground. And when he gets there, he's nailing folks. Then I watched him in the Under Armour All-American game with B.J. Foster and guys like that. And I thought he stood out on the field. He was huge. He was rangy. He was covering ground. I thought he was unlike anybody else out there. So now fast forward to now, it's been two seasons now. He's going into his third year now, his junior year, and we're finally seeing this come to fruition. And I think part of what pushed it over the top, well, I don't know, and I don't know if you really watched how much of the playoffs you watched or how much of the national championship you watched, but Clemson had a guy named Isaiah Simmons. You know what I'm talking about? Number 11 on defense. Mm-hmm. They moved that guy. That guy played safety. He played linebacker. He played corner. He played defensive end. I think watching Brent Venables move that guy around gave Texas something to sell with DeMarvion Overshown on finally, because from what I understand, he was a little bit hesitant about moving a linebacker last spring. I think they were finally able to sell him on being versatile and being that Swiss Army knife of sorts. And I feel like last season watching them play, I mean, I don't chart every play or anything like that, but I feel like if we were to chart every defensive snap from last season, on a per snap basis, I bet you DeMar Van Overshawn would be in the top two or three players on the team as far as production if we were to break something down like that. To be able to get that guy on the field, because of course Texas had too many safeties, too many defensive backs. There's no, only so many can play at one time with a guy, especially with Chris Brown, you know, Caden Stearns, other guys like that that can play. For Overshawn to finally be moving a linebacker, a spot where Texas was low on depth anyway, I mean, there's nobody there to, there's nobody there in his way. I'm looking at him to be one of the breakout players for next season, especially if he can stay healthy. That's what we have to worry about with him, because he always, you know, he always plays so hard, he hits so hard, he seems to knock himself out or nick or get banged up. But
Are you talking about him or BJ Foster?
Him and Foster, but or even Overshawn to even more so. Overshawn's a little bit longer, he's a little bit skinnier. If they can get him in the weight room, get I think you're looking at somewhere between for next season, next August, September. I think you're looking at about 10 to 12 pounds, realistically.
I think you can put 10 pounds on him and he can still, I don't know, you're the guy who they try to throw weight on.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to be careful about soft tissue stuff, you know, hamstrings, groins, quads, because it's a fine line between, you know, doing all that eating and then you also have to balance out, you know, the sodium, the scientific crap that goes into it, and it varies per person because everybody's different. So I mean, you got to be careful of that. But if he could put a little bit of weight on, they can keep him healthy. I think Overshawn is going to be that's going to be a move that puts his defense over the top. It looks a whole lot different with that guy on the field every play, at every snap in a linebacker spot next to Juwan Mitchell. With those defensive backs,
and Marcus Tillman, got a chance to not be just salty. Juwan Mitchell, yeah. Marcus Tillman. Everybody's forgetting Marcus Tillman.
Yeah, he was doing great before he got hurt this past season. So they got a chance to be salty. But Overshawn, yeah. I am an Overshawn fan. You crown me captain of him and he and Juwan Mitchell's fan club. I'm the captain of.
Yeah, it's you're right. Texas was missing a lot of positions in this next year. You know, when you're looking for a team that's really can put it all together, you want it to be a team that has at least a high floor or a high ceiling in every single position. And Texas was lacking at the linebacker position. Now they have some bodies there. They have some legitimate stuff to be excited about, which makes you a lot more excited about the chances of this defense to really take a step up. And something that's going to be interesting to watch about this defense is that cornerback position, especially with Anthony Cook being moved to that nickel position as a junior. And you're moving out instead Josh Thompson to play as the starting cornerback. Darius, what are you thinking about this move? I understand Josh Thompson. He's got a lot more of a body. He's a pretty fast dude, but it's still pretty surprising decision.
Let me start with Anthony Cook. Let me say, if it's the same, remember BJ Foster was the quote unquote nickelback last year. If it is the same type of alignment, same type of assignment, same type of job description that BJ Foster was using last year as the quote unquote nickelback, I think Anthony Cook fits it to a T, because I've got questions about Anthony Cook as far as, you know, being able to recover, his recovery speed. I don't have any questions about Anthony Cook being physical and sticking his nose in there and wanting to be around the line of scrimmage. So if that's the role he's playing, I'm excited about that move. I don't know about Anthony Cook. If it's for Anthony Cook to be a traditional nickelback and be covering the opposing team slot receiver and things like that, I do have concerns about that. I like Anthony Cook matched up with a tight end, an athletic tight end, you know, like Oklahoma liked to use in the past with guys like Grant Calcaterra, Mark Andrews. I do like that type of matchup for Anthony Cook. So it's just, we don't know what it is until we see it, but what type of nickelback position is what I'm concerned about with Anthony Cook in that move, because I do have concerns about his short area quickness and makeup speed. But I don't worry about him as a tackler. I really like him as a safety. After next season, if a few guys are to declare or something like that. I like Anthony Cook, though. I think he's a guy that you can win when it needs to be out on the field. Josh Thompson is a guy. Josh checks all the, you know, the height, weight, biceps. He's 6 foot. He's almost 200 pounds. He's got long arms. He's got track speed. Coming out of Nacogdoches, he was on the 4x1 and 4x2 team that made it to the state finals with Brandon Jones. He can run. He looks the part. He's a physical specimen. I have always, I mean, he's played safety his entire career that he's been at Texas. He's been on special teams. He's been a guy that, that played the punt return. He was out covering the gunners. Personally, I have to see it from Josh Thompson as far as being a cornerback. Right. Yes, the measurables are there, but you know, it's not 7-on-7. You know, it's the real deal. And this is the Big 12. That's Tylan Wallace playing at Oklahoma State next year. If you're not ready, you're going to get exposed. So we're going to find out about Josh Thompson this spring. I would think so. I have questions about Brendan Eagles and Jake Smith adjusting to full-time big time roles as well, but that's another topic for another time. But Josh Thompson, I am not sold on that move to him at outside corner. I'm going to have to wait to pass judgment on that one.
Right, and then also on the outside cornerbacks, you're going to have Jalen Green, Deshaun Jameson, Kenyatta Watson will be coming in. You have some bodies out there who you can play around with until you get to the season.
Deshaun Jameson gets his hands on the football, so I would like
– Oh, that's true. I really like Deshaun Jameson.
I know what Jason Washington was saying. I know what Tom Herman was saying last year. I'm not seeing a 3-year player from Jalen Green. I'm not seeing that yet. So, I'm interested to see what the cornerbacks look like next year. But Josh Thompson, Jalen Green, Kenyatta Watson, I think they've got some stuff to prove.
I don't know. I think Jalen Green, if he's not injured most of the year, is a really good freshman cornerback. He is nowhere near. What's
but that's the thing. That's the problem. That's the problem, though. He was a sophomore. He's a junior now. He's eligible to go to the draft.
Oh yeah, you're right. He's not a freshman.
He's not a baby. Yeah, I wasn't.
Right. You're right.
I wasn't.
Why did I say freshman?
Because you would think so. Because you didn't really see him as freshman year.
I keep on thinking of the 2018 because they haven't played. They were sophomores last year.
Man, those guys are draft eligible.
They redshirted, but they didn't. They didn't redshirt.
It went by that fast. Well, it went by that fast. Those guys are draft eligible now.
That's insane. Say, oh, man, yeah. That's this year.
And I would say to this point, have they? I mean, that's supposed to, on paper, that's the best class, one of the best classes ever. They haven't lived up to that to this point.
Yeah, they haven't. This is the year that they start to really put it together and show, yeah, that class, that 2018 class was legit. But you're right. I think Jalen Green, if he's not injured last year, could still show you that he's a really good cornerback. I guess you're right. He's not a 3-year dude, 3 and done, but he's still pretty good. I still think he was pretty good. He could have been pretty good. Then one of the last moves you have from the staff is this new staff is Jordy Whittington being moved from running back to wide receiver to the inside slot, which wide receiver, which allows a guy Josh Moore to move to that Z wide receiver, where you had guys like Marcus Washington, Kennedy Lewis. You know, Marcus Washington's good. He's good. He's not really good. Kennedy Lewis is a guy who you probably could use another year of development. So having a guy like Josh Moore out there to come in and kind of give you some depth to that position is going to be really nice to have him back. And then Jordan Whittington allowing you to play with him and Jake Smith at that slot wide receiver is what you're hoping for last season coming into it. So that's actually a really nice move, and I'm pretty excited for that if Jordan Whittington can stay healthy, right?
Yeah, so I think the belief here, the hope is that Jordan Whittington kind of slides into that spot that Devin Duvernay occupied last season. If you think about it, I mean, Whittington's kind of the same body type as Duvernay, except he's taller, he's bigger. The hope is that he's recovered from his hernia injury. From everything we understand, he's a full go this spring. I'm excited to see him get the opportunity. For Brendan Eagles, he's going to be the main guy at X, and then you've got Jake Smith and Josh Moore out wide. Josh Moore was slated to be a starter this past season before he had his legal issues. And he never left the program. He was practicing every week. He was just on the scout team. From all accounts, he was tearing it up on the scout team this past season. So he's a guy that's expected to be reinstated, and he's going to contribute. Getting Josh Moore back is a huge shot in the arm for this wide receiver core, especially losing as much as they did with Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay graduating and heading to the NFL draft. So Texas has talent on offense. They've got a veteran quarterback in Sam Ellinger. this spring is going to be huge for this wide receiver core as far as getting on the same page with the quarterback, getting their timing down, securing their spots heading into the fall, being guys that can be relied on. Because if Texas can't throw the ball, I think they've got the horses in the backfield this year to run it. So those guys will get their stuff together.
And really getting the running backs into the passing game is going to be huge as well. Mm-hmm. If they can do that and use those guys as runners and catchers, then watch out. This offense is going to be pretty good because they'll be able to rely less on what may be a step down in production at wide receiver. You have Brandon Eagles. He's really good, but it's not going to be what you had last year.
Yep. And you know something else, Will? I think changing to this defensive front, I think that's going to help the offensive line heading to this coming season as well.
You're right. You're right. You're good against what you practiced against, right?
Right.
So
right.
Let's go ahead, though, and look forward, farther forward to this 2021 class, because the 2020 season, the 2020 cycle is over. 2020 season hasn't started. 2021 cycle has started, though. So let's go ahead and talk about what this class needs. What are the major needs heading into this class? And Darius, you and I, we took a look at our scholarship chart and looked at who's leaving next year, what positions are going to be heavy going to this next year and leaving after that, kind of looking down the line and saying, okay, these are the positions that this Texas staff really needs to be focusing on going forward. And I think you and I agree that the number one position the Longhorns really need to focus on this cycle is the defensive end position. Texas right now, going into next year, has three seniors at that defensive end position. And after that, you have Joseph Osai and Byron Vaughns. Joseph Osai likely is gone. So then that really leaves you with three defensive ends. And in a four down front, you're going to need a lot more defensive end talent than that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need defensive ends. You're going to need bodies. It still remains to be seen, even though we think Vernon Broughton is going to be an inside guy. Ultimately, we believe Alfred Collins is going to be an inside guy. Ultimately, they're going to get the opportunity to play defensive end this season. It's Texas is going to need bodies at the position. The great news for Texas fans, and we're about to get into it in a little bit, Texas has a commitment already on the defensive line from one of the top, not just defensive ends in the state, but in the entire nation.
Right.
In Jatavion Sanders. So they're off to a good start there. They're on the right track. But yeah, they got to throw some numbers at this defensive end position in this class.
Right, and luckily they're in a position where they could have a defensive end haul like they had in last year's defensive tackle haul, where they had two top players at defensive tackle in Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton. This year, you're looking at guys like Jatavion Sanders, as you already talked about, and Landon Johnson and Shamar Turner as all potential and realistic options for that defensive end position. And all three of those guys together as your defensive ends in that class would create a very highly talented, super high ceiling class for that 2021 class of defensive end position, which is, again, the biggest need of this class.
Yeah, defensive end is a loaded position in the 2021 class in addition to the offensive line. Everybody in the state, everybody in the country that comes in, all the big dogs, folks are going to get, they're going to get their fill on big time trench players in this class. But Texas is in a great position, as you mentioned, with Shamar Turner from DeSoto. Shamar is a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", about 275 pounds. He can play that strong side defensive end in the future. He can play the weak side. He's a guy that'll be able to do either or. Whereas Jatavion Sanders profiles more as a weak side defensive end like Joseph Osai, he's a guy that'll come in as a freshman and probably get you four or five sacks, even though that's a whole year off from now. But Turner, Sanders, and a guy named Jordan Thomas from Port Arthur Memorial are three guys we think y'all should start getting familiar with.
And Landon Jackson. Did you say Landon Jackson?
Landon Jackson from Texarkana, Pleasant Grove. Landon Jackson is a guy he's a different body type than Turner and Thomas. He's even taller than Jatavion Sanders, who's about 6'4". Landon Jackson's about 6'6", and he's got a 7-foot wingspan.
Yeah, that dude, basketball player playing football.
If Texas was still running a three-down look, he would be the perfect overhang 3-4 outside backer. In the Texas look, I think he would be more of a jack prospect, more of a weak side defensive end.
Right.
Kind of playing about 6'6", about 260 or so pounds. But he is a unique body type for the position in the class, so that makes him a must-get as well.
Right. So there's a lot of bodies you can get. There's a lot of guys you can get. And if as long as you get two of these guys, then you're pretty good. You're pretty good for this defensive end class. It would be very, very nice to get three at least in this class. That's what you're shooting for. But two of those top-end guys, very nice. Very good haul. So the next thing that you really need in this class, and it seems like it's every single year that you need this, linebackers, inside and outside linebackers. It just seems like it's always a need for Texas. And a large part of that is there is always a shortage of top-end linebacker talent in Texas.
Right.
And
right.
On top of that, they just don't go after the guys they should in Texas. So yeah, go ahead.
All right, so everybody by now knows that I coach high school football in Texas at a 6A program in the DFW, blah, blah, blah. Okay, ever since, I would say, probably around about the year 2000, in the state of Texas, South Lake Carroll started it, you know, with the slinging the ball around, stuff like that. Now, in 2020, with the 7-on-7 era and things like that, in Texas, your best players play offense because you need to score points. So a guy that would be a star linebacker in today's day and age, instead of playing linebacker, he's playing wide receiver. He's playing tight end. He's playing running back because he wants the ball. He needs to score.
Right.
So, yeah, that helps contribute to the shortage of top linebacker prospects because simply the top athletes aren't playing the position. In 2021, in the 2021 class, I think there are three, maybe four linebackers that really stand out from the rest. Texas is off to a great start early. They've got a commitment from one of them, and Derek Harris from New Caney. Derek Harris is going to be an outside linebacker at Texas. He's about 6'3". He does a tremendous job getting after the quarterback and changing direction. But another guy that Texas targeted in their first junior day a few weeks ago was Terrence Cooks. From Shadow Creek out there in Pearland. He's a teammate of Texas signee Xavion Alford. And Cooks has blown up in the past weeks, getting offers from all over the place. He's still rated a 3-star prospect on all of the websites, but that's going to change coming up soon. Terrence Cooks and holding on to Derek Harris are the priorities for Texas in his linebacker class. For folks that are going to ask about Clayton Smith from Texarkana, yeah, from Texas High, I spoke to Clayton not too long ago. Since all of the coaching changes, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news for everyone, but since the coaching changes, he hasn't really been hearing from the staff. And
which is a damn shame. Which is damn shame. You go after, in this class, when you need so many linebackers, you go after every single dude. You try to get as many damn linebackers. You have 26 scholarships you can give out in this class. Get the damn linebackers in this class. Get the linebackers.
I understand, but... coaches come in and they've got to make their own evaluations. So I don't know. Maybe they simply haven't gotten to his film yet, or maybe they have seen it and think.
If this is another Deshaun White situation, I am going to throw a fit.
I'm not familiar with the Deshaun White deal, but he hadn't as of last time I spoke to him, which was not long ago. It was less than 3 weeks ago. He hadn't been hearing from the Texas staff, so. They appear to be going in a different direction there. But that could change. You know, it's recruiting. You know, things could change, you know, at the drop of a dime. But as of right now, it doesn't seem like Clayton Smith is in the plans.
Right. They are going after a new guy, Maurice Blackwell, who they just offered out at Arlington, Texas, Martin.
Yeah, Blackwell is violent. He's an inside backer.
Right.
I like him.
Right. And again, which is what you need to do in Texas. You need to go after the guys who aren't the most highly rated. You definitely need to go after those guys. You sure, for sure should go after those guys, but you also need to start digging deep into the state of Texas and going after guys like Maurice Blackwell and starting early on them, starting getting early traction on them so you can start to build a relationship so they're not heading off to places like Utah, right?
Yeah, right. And if you're listening to this, hey, if you look up Maurice Blackwell, look up his huddle film, okay? You only need to watch 4 or 5 plays, and you'll see, you know, really quickly that's not a 3-star kid. He's completely underrated. Somebody on that staff did their homework there. I really, really like Blackwell.
Right. So
I like him more than Kendrick Blackshire, who's rated way higher at Duncanville. Yeah.
Right. For comparison's sake. Kendrick Blackshire will he'll either slim down or he'll move down.
Yeah, one of the two.
Right. So those two positions are probably your most important in this class. And then the last one is cornerback position, because even though 2022 is a very, very talented class for cornerbacks, you've missed on a lot of cornerbacks in the past two classes. So with the 2018 class coming to the end, unfortunately, you're looking for guys who can really fill in those positions. You know, you had Marquise Caldwell last year. You had Kenyatta Watson as well. And then you have Keaton Crawford. I would say it looks like two of the three are doing really well right now. So you need to get some guys, you need to get some depth in there and fast guys who can grow underneath the guys who are going to be playing maybe one or two more seasons. And so that when they are ready, they step in and are ready.
Right. But the issue there, especially with 2021, even though it's a really deep class, it's another class for the second consecutive year in Texas where it's kind of lacking at the cornerback spot.
It doesn't have that top end dude.
It doesn't. And the top name remains Latrell McCutchen, and he didn't even play his junior season because he tore his ACL. And he doesn't, even though he goes to LBJ, you know, about 10, 15 minutes from campus. He doesn't seem to be looking Texas's way at all. Just really quickly, just from taking a glance at it, Texas has offers out to seven other cornerbacks, and they're all from different states, Florida, Nebraska, Georgia, Arizona, California. They're spreading the offers out. They're looking nationwide for cornerbacks. They're not just going to settle for a guy just because he's from the state of Texas. The only two guys in state that I've seen that I think are worthy are McCutchen and a guy like Ishmael Ibrahim from Dallas Kimball. But even Ibrahim's another guy that, you know, he's getting attention from everybody. He doesn't really seem to be. Texas is going to have to fight for that one, and I think they might probably be better off putting their resources elsewhere like they're doing. And another name is Hunter Washington from Katy. I think Hunter's going to be a little bit lower down the list. It remains to be seen what they're going to do at the cornerback spot. But there will be some new names that show up.
Right. Sure. It might end up in 2022 having to go after like a multiple five stars and saying, you can play right away. You can play right away. We don't have much on the roster because they weren't able to pull in guys.
There's a guy at North Shore named Denver Harris. And I mean, that'll be for another time, maybe a year from now. But he would fit that criteria that we're talking about. But a guy that I think is a must get, he's not a cornerback per se, even though I think he could play any spot in the secondary. He's rated as a safety. He played safety for his high school. J.D. Coffey from Kennedale. I think he's high on Texas. I think he's a big-time player. I think Texas is in a good spot there. So J.D. Coffey is a name to remember. I think he's a must get in the class.
Yeah, I completely agree. That dude, when you throw on the tape there, you know he's a difference maker immediately. He's one of those guys. And right now, again, the safety class in this state and honestly in the country is not full of like top end talent, but he's one of the top at least 5 or 10 guys in the nation. And if you can pull him in, that would be a really big boon for your locker room, especially with you're probably losing BJ Foster and Caden Stearns in a year or two.
I think, Coffee's a stud. I think he's a guy. He'll look good in burnt orange. Yeah. He'll look good in burnt
orange. And Longhorn fans learned last year you can't have too many safeties, right?
Right, exactly.
So
they get banged up.
Yeah, and also, you know, talking about cornerbacks and the fact that they don't have too many, they also have Billy Bowman committed. And Billy Bowman will probably play your cornerback position now. He's going to need a little bit more polish at the cornerback position. Right, he's got a lot of the intangibles, or I guess the tangibles, the measurables, but you know he's gonna need a little bit more polish on him before he's ready to be like a top end cornerback. But still, he's a good cornerback prospect to have in your pipeline.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure. No, I think I don't know if he ever. I think he might stay on offense. I don't know about Bowman. He could do either or. Defensively, he's a gambler. He's a stud, superstar, star talent. I think you keep him on offense, though. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
That's the thing is, right, you're saying he's offense. I'm saying he's defense. Neither of us is wrong. His best position, punt returner. Am I wrong?
No. He'll come in. He should come in. Sean Jameson should be a senior. He might have to wait a year. But, yeah, he's going to add something to the team as far as dynamic and being explosive.
Right, right. So, beyond those guys, who do you think are some of the biggest targets Texas should be going after in this class? Who are the names that Texas fans should be keeping an eye on and keeping a close eye on and saying, wow, if they don't land this guy, that's big news. Or if they do land this guy, that is big news.
I think at the running back spot, you need to get one or you're not going to get both. But Kamar Wheaton or LJ Johnson from Cypress Falls, you got to get one of those two. I think Texas is going to take two backs in the class. I think Jonathan Brooks from Hallettsville is going to be one of the running backs for sure. But Johnson and Wheaton are the two star names. You got to get one of those two. Also, Duncanville offensive tackle Savion Byrd is a guy that I think is a must get in the class. If he's a guy, he's a five-star offensive lineman. If Texas is were to secure his commitment, that would just continue to solidify that Duncanville pipeline after getting Jaquindon Jackson this past year. Duncanville's got some they've got some offensive and defensive linemen coming up in the coming classes in 22 and 23. If Texas can keep that pipeline going, that will pay huge, huge, huge dividends in the future. But I'm concerned that the Longhorns are going to have to go. They're going to end up having to fill a lot of their offensive line class, possibly out of state because
which is a damn shame.
Yeah, I mean, things aren't – as of right now, there are some question marks as far as interest with some of the guys, some of the current offensive linemen in Texas. But defensively, we already talked about the defensive end. Shamar Turner, know the name. Pray that he's in the class. Tavian Sanders is already committed. He's one of the top defensive ends in the country. And Jordan Thomas from Port Arthur Memorial. It seems like every time Texas gets a player from Port Arthur, he's a pretty damn good player. So let's hope he's in the class. And then we talked that linebacker, Derek Harris, Terrence Cooks. Remember those? The defensive back name to remember is J.D. Coffey. Easy to remember. Coffey.
Right.
Coffey. Think J.D. J.D. Power. I always see that commercial. I don't even know what it's for. Is it for cars or something?
I have no idea.
That's a car. That's a car award or something. J.D.
Yeah,
Power.
Yeah, right. It is a car
award. And then every morning
award.
You got to wake up and get your coffee. J.D. Coffee. Don't forget the name. He's going to be a star.
What are we doing here? Mnemonics?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make sure folks are following along.
So I think you're right on all of those, but I think one guy we're missing here, and he might not end up at Texas, but it would be great for him to end up at Texas because he's not only very close with guys like Jalen Milroe and Hayden Connor. You grew up with them. Their families are all best friends. They literally travel everywhere together. Bryce Foster is a guy to keep an eye on. He might not end up at Texas. He might end up at OU or A&M or maybe even Oregon.
I think he's going to Oklahoma.
But if he ends up at Texas, I mean, that dude, not only is he a likable guy, all three of those guys are probably some of the most likable players I've been around. You know, always have maybe one or usually just one or zero guys per class that I really like. And in 18, it was Caden Stearns. I don't know if I really had anyone in 19, 20, 20. It was Bijan Robinson. This year, I have Hayden Connor, Jalen Milroe, and Bryce Foster. Oh, yeah. 2019 was Austin Stogner. Man, missed there, I think. Bryce Foster is another guy who I like his attitude. I like what he can bring. All of his measurables are insane. Like 35-inch thighs, Darius. That was his measurement to me. That's insane.
You don't got to convince me. Call him the mountain for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, he's huge.
That dude
he's
is a
mover.
Big, big guy. He is a strong, strong guy. He just broke his school's record again in the – what's it called? The thing where you put the ball?
He's doing a shot put in the discus.
Shot put. There you go. Yeah. That's a guy who, if Texas could pull in, would be a huge piece for that offensive line. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. It's something to keep an eye on. But he told me once he commits, he's done. He's done. Mm-hmm. Just like Hayden Connor, just like Jalen Milroe, he is done.
But he'd be a candidate. He's a day one starter candidate.
That's true. So a guy like him would be someone to keep an eye on. You're right, Kamar Wheaton. I mean, really, if they could go after, they're probably going to try to go after one really, really top-rated five-star or four-star wide receiver in the nation. I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're going to try. They're probably going to try. It's probably going to be a Kelee Ringa situation all over again. But it's going to be fun.
Well, they're going to need to go out of state because I'm not in love with the in-state receiver class.
No, you're right. You're completely right. All right, though. I think we're going to end off there, y'all. That has been your 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I've been your host, Will Bazer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER and my man DT. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, DTERRELL05. Holla at me. I'm there all day.
And you guys can find both of us on thefootballbrainiacs.com. That's texas.thefootballbrainiacs.com. On that note, thank you all for listening, and we'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Thank you.